Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Got By Podcast. There's Mick and Christian once again. We are sat in a cosy little corner of a pub after the Liverpool have beat Everton 2-0 in the derby. It wasn't the best game, but before we get into it all, Christian, how are you doing, lad? You are over, back in the city. How are you feeling?
I'm really good. I had a great couple of days today, obviously, with the win. And yesterday we arrived, me and my brother. So, you know, he's around here somewhere as well, having a drink. I don't know, I can't see him now, but yeah, he's around here somewhere. So we arrived early yesterday morning, had a long day, met up with you and a few mates, and obviously today with the big game. So yeah, I'm really good.
Good stuff, yeah. We were excited about this game. I think the lineup when it came out, I think we kind of predicted most of it. I think the only difference was Jota in for Nunes, and yeah, it was nice to see Gravenberch get a start as well.
Yeah, because when we talked about it, we were talking about the midfield and the players that were away, international breaks, and we were not sure who was going to start, because last time McAllister came back, he was not really good after playing for Argentina. So you know, he played, but then we also said that Gravenberch was actually in the team, and that was what we talked about, because we want that kind of player in there, because he's actually shown that he's been really good when he played. So, you know, it's a young midfield, it's a strong midfield, it's a quality midfield, and I liked what we saw when they came out.
Yeah, I mean, we won't go into what Gravenberch did yet, we'll do that in a bit, but I thought the fact that we put him in there and gave him, like, the opportunity, and I think from what he's doing in training, he's doing the right things, and I think he did that on the pitch as well. Like just how silky he is, and strong and tall, and all the stuff that you need in that midfield left area. He was providing all of that. So, like I mentioned, it wasn't the best game, to be honest. But I mean, derbies never are, to be honest, are they? As long as you win the game, that's all that matters. But it was only 18 minutes, and Ashley Young got his first yellow of the game. I feel like after that, it was a case of just give the ball to Luis Diaz and see if he can cause more chaos on that side and try and get him sent off, which he eventually did.
Yeah, I think also, you know, when you think about this kind of game and you're having a couple of pounds before and you want to, you know, build up to the game, you get the feeling, you know, it's a derby. But like you said and mentioned, the derby, you know, first half wasn't that good. We felt it was a little bit sleepy, might be, you know, due to the kickoff as well. It's an early kickoff, definitely, and all that kind of stuff that, you know, everyone talks about already. But yeah, you know, coming into the game and how we started the game, it wasn't, you know, the best way, because, you know, sometimes, like you said, derbies can be a little bit dull, but sometimes it can be amazing as well, depending on, you know, how it starts, what happens. But yes, there's a yellow card, and, you know, with Luis Diaz being that kind of player that he is, and Ashley Young being Ashley old,
Ashley old,
if you like, I'm thinking, you know, it was just the right decision to keep on giving the ball to Luis Diaz to try to just, you know, make him, because obviously he needs to be more, you know, cautious about what he's doing. And, you know, later on we saw that, you know, what Luis Diaz did obviously caused them troubles and him troubles, and that, you know, gave a red card as well.
Yeah, I think the ref, like the first one was, like, obvious yellow, but then there's another instance where he kicks the ball away and you're like, well, isn't that a second yellow? And I think the refs, that's in the ref's mind then, because he kicks the ball away. And I think he's like, in the next one, you're off. And I think that, like, when you think of the first half, though, like, the second yellow was on 37, so we had, like, 7 or 8 minutes after that second yellow to kind of get at them. But we just seem to be, like, the first half, we only had one shot on target. And I think that tells a picture about how Liverpool were kind of. It was just like every time we were passing the ball, it was a little bit too slow. We were giving it into areas. McAllister was getting it into, like, in those areas, if he turns and he makes a good switch of play or he does something nice, then it looks good. But we were giving him the ball and he'd kind of maybe take a touch too many, and then they were straight on and putting tackles in, and they were fair tackles in a derby. You've got to expect those type of tackles, but maybe he was taking too many touches on the ball. I just thought that was kind of like how we were going about it. It was a bit like a little bit too slow. And I think half time came at a good time with them 10 men. We needed to get in and, like, I guess refocus and re-energise and go, right, we need to basically sort this out because it's not been going well. And I think you can feel that in the ground. I think the vibe in the ground transfers onto the pitch a little bit in terms of the frustration and stuff, and the players then try and maybe start doing too many things, making more mistakes. And I think it kind of transfers itself over sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we were slow and they were obviously there to defend, which they did well. And then they got the red card, and we, you know, thinking that, okay, this is obviously gives us an opportunity. But I think, you know, in general, we should have been better to actually move the ball quicker, trying to, you know, ask them more questions, if you like, because we were playing in a way where they could actually, you know, move their positions and defending quite well without any troubles. But obviously with the red card, it gives us an opportunity. But it's a good way that it comes just before half time, because, like you said, we can go into the changing room and actually refocus and talk about what can we do now to actually use this opportunity, because it's sometimes hard to be 11 against 10 as well, because then you know you got that advantage and you need to break them down, and that puts a bit of a pressure as well to actually be able to do that. And they will, you know, stand their ground even more, because now they know that, okay, we're only here to defend, try to get a point and maybe go on the counter and to score, because that can happen as well. We've done it, you know, against Newcastle. I don't say they have the same quality, but there's an opportunity if we go forward and try to score that they actually break and score. So, you know, it's a difficult one, even though you're one more player on the pitch. But, you know, going out in the second half, I felt that we were a little bit more focused and organised, and I felt it was a little bit better, obviously also because of they having only 10 men.
Yeah, because I think once their game plan was, of course, to counter-attack and sit back and whatever, so 11 men, they were going to do it, but then with 10 men, they were definitely going to do it, and it was like they've got, at least a bit of pace. When they brought Beto on, he had a bit of pace, but I think our defenders had enough for them. But that kind of leads me on to the Konate stuff. He gets a yellow on 50 minutes, and I don't know how far after that, but it mustn't have been long after that he makes another foul. And of course the Everton fans were absolutely screaming for another yellow, because the same kind of thing happened for Ashley Young. I don't know, I haven't seen the second one back, but I feel like the second one was a foul, but, like, I think if it's not at Anfield, you maybe get a red card. But I feel like the way the stuff's been going for us recently with, like, Spurs game and certain decisions. I mean, I saw something on Twitter the other day, like, if VAR wasn't a thing, we'd be like 3 points top of the table. So it's things like that where maybe it's in the back of the referee's mind that they've got to be a little bit more, not favourable, but they've got to, like, even things out a little bit over the course of the season.
Which is not fair, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
But, you know,
but it happens.
Yeah, because seeing, you know, Konate's situation from the stands, it looks like a foul. I haven't seen, like you, the situation back or a replay of it, but I get the feeling that it could have been a, you know, second yellow and a red card. At the same time, I told you when it happened, it's just like, it just didn't look like he meant it, like trying to actually get away. And they just actually, you know, I haven't seen it back, so, you know, someone else might say something else, but it just looked, and the feeling that I had after just it happened, I was like, well, it could be a yellow card, but the referee might go, you know, it's just an actual accident collision.
Just a collision.
And it could still be a yellow card, but, you know, in this type of game where it's a derby and you're playing home, maybe, like you said, with things in his mind of what happened before, maybe it gives us a little bit of a chance of not having that red card going against us in that moment. So, yeah, I was happy that it didn't happen. And obviously, you know, he was substituted off for Matic later on. So that was good. But, yeah, you know, that was a moment where we all probably just like, oh, you know.
It was like, it was instant, weren't it? Like Klopp straight away was like, get Matt upon. And that was on the 67 minutes. So, I mean, it was longer than I thought it was, but 50 and then 67. So it was a good 17 minutes between both of them. I felt like it was a shorter amount of time when you're watching from the ground. But just before that, we brought on Nunes for Tsimikas and Elliot on for Gravenberch. And we might as well talk about Gravenberch then, because we were admiring his footwork and the way he kind of moves about on the field. Because I think in those type of games where it's all about passion and tackles and whatever, he was playing with like just such a cool head. He'd take a touch. He's got a bit of guile, a bit of energy, strength about him. He's still very young. So these type of games can only help him in the future to kind of get used to what we're trying to achieve, but also get used to like those type of games. Like those games are so intense. You've got to be like technically good and stuff and get on the ball. And he was kind of doing all those good things that we want to see from that left side midfielder.
Yeah, you know, I think with Gravenberch, we've done a bargain deal. You know, that's the thing. Like everyone talking about, he didn't make it to Bayern Munich coming from Ajax, and we talked about this before in episodes. But I think, you know, what we've seen so far from him playing in the games, and you know, making the points that he have done as well. You know, scoring, assists, and stuff like that. I think, you know, we know that he will be a quality player because, like you said, he's a silky player. He's tall, he's strong, he's good with his technique, he's good on the ball. So whatever, you know, with his age and whatever skills he can actually develop under Klopp, I think, you know, he can become a great, great midfielder for us for a long time. So I think playing this kind of game as well, a derby where it's more physical, you know, he's a big, like I said, a big, strong lad. So, you know, he will get to know that in the Premier League in that way anyway. But I just think he will give us so many opportunities in midfield, the way he plays the ball together with the other boys. Because, you know, if we look at the old midfield that we had before with Henderson and Fabinho and Wijnaldum, or, you know, I've said this before, we will always appreciate them, you know, because of the way they worked and how they dealt with games and how they played. But this got more quality in terms of passing skills. It's a little bit more creative and all that kind of stuff. So I like that. And still, we might not have seen it all. You know, McAllister struggled a bit. You know, he's a little bit too slow on the ball sometimes because he's playing and not in his right position and all that. But I think as long as the season goes and the more they play, and hopefully with Gravenberch as well, we know that Curtis Jones coming back, obviously, and I think that he should still be playing, you know, quite many games. But having that option with Gravenberch to come in and do that kind of stuff, we have a young, very creative and exciting midfield that will do great things for us. So, you know, to see him playing this derby was great.
Yeah, because I think I mentioned, like, one, I think it was the game after Spurs, I said, like, it's not a good thing that Jones has got three games banned, but in a way, it's like a bit of a blessing in disguise for Ryan Gravenberch, because it gives him a chance to come in. And games like today where just keep it simple, but like he makes it look like effortless, and he's got all the qualities that we want to see. So it was really nice performance from him in the 62 minutes that he played. And of course, I mentioned that Nunes comes onto the field, and instantly, you know, what's going to start happening. There's going to be balls in behind. There's going to be just more chaos on the field. And I think that's, I would have ideally, if I could change it, I would have started Darwin Nunes in this game. I feel like if we would have started Nunes, I feel like we would have got a goal in that first half at some point, just in terms of the chances that we were creating. Only half chances, but I feel like having that extra person in the box, like just those crosses that were coming in quite often from Tsimikas, it might have fell to Nunes. He gets in the right, he likes to be in the right place at the right time, and he's good at doing that. So I feel like that's one that maybe going forward, it was a, he had like maybe some cramp or whatever after the international, so Jota was maybe fresher. I understand that, but I feel like for games like this, Diaz, Nunes and Salah, just try and win the game in the first half, first 60, kill the game off, then you can bring on the Jotas and the Harvey Elliott and stuff. But you knew straight away once Nunes came onto the field that Liverpool were going to start to turn the screw a little bit more in the final third, because that's where we were lacking. I felt like we just didn't, as soon as we got to like near their box, the passing just kind of slowed down a little bit, didn't it, until he came on?
Yeah, and I agree with you. Darwin Nunes, like everyone else know, is my favourite.
favourite player ever.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, I understand he's been away playing for Uruguay, you know, far away, you know, having to travel, getting the cramp and all that kind of stuff, that we need to be, you know, a little bit, you know, we need to protect him, not to, you know, overplay him, and still young and all that. But it's just, I agree with you. We should have I think, you know, we should have started this kind of game because it's someone where we had chance to put balls into behind their defensive lines, but he can actually come into that space because of his pace. And also the...
And Tarkowski, like up against Tarkowski, you could absolutely...
Yeah, and also the crosses, even if they weren't the best, you know, he's someone that will get there and actually fight for the ball, which means the ball can actually fall down into, you know, to someone else because then you have someone actually fighting for that... moment that happens, yeah. And that can actually, you know, bring something as well. You need someone in there to actually have that, like we say, like a little bit of chaos with him because he's strong, he's, you know, quick, he's good with the ball, and we could tell when he come in, you know, this, he's unpredictable in that way. Like, you know that he's going to play up front to go out to the left or something because of how he changes and all that kind of stuff, his substitutions. But what he brings to the team in games is something that we actually, because I told you this, that as well, I want him to play every game because you straight away, you feel that we are more of a threat. There's more creativity. We got more pace. So he brings all that to the way we play and what we can actually do to hopefully go and win games. It's more of a chance that we actually go and win with him on the pitch.
Yeah, I think the only criticism of like Darwin is that you could say he's not technically as good as like Cody Gakpo in terms of like his first touch and maybe dropping deep and whatever. But I think he's starting to improve on even that as well. He still looks a bit... His first touch, whatever, still doesn't look great when he does it, but like he's got that much pace that he can make it. He can make those touches into something greater than what he probably should be. But because he's so quick, he makes that stuff happen. So yeah, I mean, I mentioned like the Konate thing, and I'm just looking through live score now. Sean Dyche got a yellow card. I didn't even notice that while we were there. But he got a yellow. He must have absolutely been fuming because Konate didn't get sent off for the second yellow. And we haven't even mentioned Mo Salah yet because he had a bit of a mad game. He wasn't even in the first half. There was a couple of chances where he's got on the ball, and it's like usually a Salah in that area. He takes on Mikhailenko. Goes round him or does this and that, or plays ball in behind. And every time he was trying stuff, it just weren't happening today. And then we get the penalty on 75th minute after VAR check. I just felt like that we weren't going to get that one. And that was created by Diaz again, being down that left-hand side, trying to cross it in. And it's a clear handball. And I think I said to you, like, do you reckon Mo's going to take it after having such a mad game? Are we still going to give him it? Because obviously he took the ball, didn't he? But he was obviously protecting it for Mo. And then, yeah, I think when it went in, I was like, thank fuck. But I felt like the way the game was going, I was worried about that penalty just because he wasn't as effective as he usually is in that type of game.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and we talked about it before, about Salah, you know, scoring all the goals, you know, giving all the points, being a fucking legend in, you know, in every way that word is used. But you know, when he have a game like that, when it doesn't seem to work for him, the touch is, you know, bad, his decision making is bad, he doesn't seem to actually get into the game the way we are used to, and then he steps up for the penalty. Yes, I'm worried. But at the same time, you know, we've seen him miss a few, you know, last season and all that, but you know, this season he's been really good, and he seems to be more like focused in a way, but when he steps up to take a penalty, it's not trying to, you know, fuss about. It's more like, I'm just going to get this fucking straight into the goal. Whatever side he puts it into, if it's in the middle, it's with more of a, you know, power behind it, which I like. I'd rather be like, go for power. Don't try to, you know, because he missed the goal even with trying to, you know, place it into a corner. Now just go for power and he scores. And, you know, he's got another goal there for his statistics. So, yeah, Mo Salah is Mo Salah. And, you know, we just have to keep on keep on enjoying him as long as he plays for us, because he will go down as one of the best Liverpool players ever in the history of our club.
Yeah, it's when that went in, I was like, I wanted us to build on it, but then the later the game gets on and it stays 1-0 and then the ball goes up and it's 9 minutes added on, then you're like, oh, fucking hell, they're going to get a corner or they're going to get a jammy goal or something's going to happen. We were mentioning Phil Jagielka, like all that type of shit. You're wondering if something horrible is going to happen. And luckily, it doesn't happen. And Mo Salah, again, doesn't have the best game by any stretch. It was probably one of his worst games, and I'm sure he'll admit that. But he gets the second goal, and it comes from Everton trying to attack us, and we kind of break away. McAllister wins the ball, plays it through. Darwin Núñez is in that type of area, and he's running with the ball. You're not going to catch him. And he holds on to it just the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Slows it down, plays Mo in, and then Mo scores again. And I mean, we say it every week. Mo's now got 194 Liverpool goals, which is in 316 games, which is just, I mean, it's 6 off 200, which is just fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, and he will get that this season, you know, without a doubt. And used to think, you know, we'd be talking about that before as well. If he leaves, you know, come summer, you know, he will have great statistics. But, you know, a part of me hopes that he want to stay for maybe another year or two because of keep on, you know, scoring 30, 40 goals a season to, you know, get even closer to the top. Because it feels like no one will ever be able to reach him, you know, for a long, long period of time. Probably not in our lifetime. You don't know. But, you know, it just feels like he will just continue to score goals, because we talked about that, you, me and my brother in the stands, that, you know, he can have a shit a game, but he still scores the goals. That's the thing. Like, that's why he's on the pitch. He's just there. He's not always the best, but he's always creating points and goals and stuff. So to have, you know, the total of them goals in those games as well, and you knowing that he always make an impact, he always make a difference, is brilliant. So 2 goals from Mo, you know, 2-0 win against Everton. Can't complain.
Yeah, because it's funny, because on the taxi, I got a taxi to the ground, and I think he was an Arsenal fan, the guy that was driving the taxi, and he was mentioning about Salah, and he said, why didn't you sell Salah for 200 million this summer? And it's like, you can only understand, I think, Mo Salah completely if you're a Liverpool fan and you watch him every game. Because I think if you only see him from the outside, you see like he scores goals and whatever, but you maybe don't see all the other stuff that he does in terms of holding up play, creating stuff, assists, just being a world-class player on the pitch. I feel like when you have to explain that to someone, maybe doesn't come across the same way. As like you just have to watch Liverpool games to appreciate just how good he is and how involved he is. Even if like this game, we're saying he had a bad game and he still scored 2 goals. Like the amount of times that he has great games and doesn't score or gets an assist or whatever. But it's every game where he's even if he's not involved, he'll do at least something in the game that you'd be like, yeah, that's Mo Salah, and that's what he can do. So again, Mo Salah, a legend of the club, another massive win. Of course, at the time we went top of the league. Of course, Man City have won and whatever. So remain the same, but it was again another victory after last year where we beat them 2-0 at home, and now we've followed it up with another 2-0 home victory this year. These games are never enjoyable, but it's as long as you win, because I think like when we're getting towards the 70th minute and we hadn't scored the penalty yet, you're like, is it going to be a 0-0? Is it going to be like we're just going to have to take a draw here? But like the fact that we can still get over the line and get the results, I think that's. Especially, you could see with Klopp at the end, like he'd done the fist pumps to the cop. Then he came over to us, the main stand, and done it as well. But I don't think he usually does that. I think
he did three sides, didn't he?
So I think that's something that he doesn't usually do. So it's like he knows how big these games are. They're never pretty, but to get the win and get over the line, that's the massive thing that you need.
Yeah, and like I mentioned in the start, like there's some derbies where you go, you can win, you know, 4-0 and you're brilliant. But there's some derbies where, like this one, where it feels tough, it feels like it doesn't click, it doesn't have the rhythm that we want from the start, and it is difficult because it is a derby. It doesn't mean, you know, everything's going to be, you know, easy because of Everton being, you know, shite at the moment and, you know, down, you know, very low in the table and all that kind of stuff. Only because of they are in that position doesn't mean they're going to come and, you know, try to cause problems for us at Anfield. So Yeah, I was very pleased that we can actually go and get the goals and win it and, you know, make sure that we actually close the game with the second goal. And to see Klopp celebrate like that, you know, the three sides where he goes and, you know, fist bumps. And yeah, it's just a great feeling because, you know, now we're in the top of the league together with, you know, the other teams that are there with the great points that we have. And, you know, the start that we have this season, can't complain. You know, we've already been through the Tottenham and all that shit that happened. But, you know, thinking of where we are at the moment and where we're going, It's a great start. It's a great season so far. And hopefully we can just keep on developing, especially with the midfield that we talked about with McAllister, Gravenberch, Soboslai, Curtis Jones together, this young creative midfield. Because like we said, McAllister had a bit of a trouble in this game. He had troubles in some games in the past as well. But I think, you know, because he's playing in that position, we need to give him just time, continue to have, you know, believe in him. So I think with this midfield and the other players that are around, we can look forward to a great season and hopefully we can challenge all the way.
I think you forget because the transition that we've made with the new midfield, because they've done so well, you sometimes forget how they've only been here for a very short amount of time. So you've got to expect like McAllister playing in a position that he's not the type of person that'll moan about it. He'll just get on with it, but it's not his best position. So we need to maybe have a bit more patience and hopefully that he can start to turn up a bit more than he was, because there's times where I am a bit worried about him in those type of positions where he's passed into his feet. But yeah, Liverpool have now played four at home, won all four. The away form is not too bad as well. 8 points out of five, of course. That includes the Spurs fucking fiasco as well with the... We won't get into that again. We spent about an hour last time talking about that.
Yep.
But yeah, a great start again for Liverpool, of course. Even before this game, the start was great. But when you're looking at the table and we're still up there around the likes of City, that are like an Arsenal and teams like that, I think it's underrated. I think even like seeing like United fans online, like Mark Goldbridge, for example, like praising Liverpool for how they've rebuild the midfield and how it's kind of like everyone's just been like, oh yeah, but the Liverpool, and it's expected, but it's like it's a massive thing to lose the players that we did and also replace the players that we weren't expecting to leave, Fabinho and Henderson and stuff. So it's a massive job that is kind of gone under the radar, I feel like, for most other teams, that how well we've done it. So yeah, another great victory for Liverpool. Hopefully we can carry that on against Forest. I mean, we've got loads, another game against Toulouse coming up as well. So the game is going to come thick and fast. So especially Curtis Jones coming back, we need those players back in. We haven't even mentioned Harvey Elliott. He was great coming off the bench today. Another player that is, I guess, people just write off as well. Like I get the point of view, like, because he's not the quickest or the strongest or whatever, but he's still young. He's still developing. We're still trying to find his best position. But he comes onto the field and he gets on the ball. He tries to make stuff happen. So there's loads of positives in terms of not even the starting 11, but the squad around it as well.
Yeah, I think with Harvey Elliott, we have to appreciate the player he is, because, you know, only because he was bought when he was 16, 17 years of age from Fulham. And, you know, people talking about, you know, he was asked from Real Madrid to go and join them and he was invited to see them. You know, just because of that, people think that he will be, you know, the next big star. But, you know, it doesn't work like that sometimes. You know, he can be a great talent, but it might take a little bit longer to form him. It might take a little bit longer to develop him. But he's only 20. You know, he played for us, and every time he put that shirt on, he's doing a great job. You know, I love the way he loves to play for Liverpool Football Club. He shows that by emotion, you know, the way he works and on the pitch, you know, and we've talked about that in the stands as well, the three of us, you know, that he's coming in and doing a job and he's not making it any, you know, no fuss, just play it simple, play it, you know, pass it back if you need to, keep the ball for a bit if you need to, play forward, you know, take a new position. There's nothing, you know, he doesn't need to be like a glamorous player or anything. He just want to play. And he does it really good when he comes on. So I think it's brilliant that we've got a really young player that can come in and have an impact and do the job and, you know, sometimes even start for us. So to have Harvey Elliott and like the likes of Curtis Jones in our squad to be able to come in and do that kind of job is just brilliant. So we couldn't complain about it. We should just be very appreciative about it.
Yeah, especially with Toulouse coming up on Thursday, like Harvey Elliott, you expect them to start games like that. So he's going to get game time from the start as well. It's just like, I think like when you come to like maybe Forest as well, I always feel like he's better off the bench, but like, yeah, there's plenty of players in there that it's exciting. Like we say it every time. It's exciting in terms of not knowing who's going to play, but also expecting high standards. Like the Gravenberch today, it's like happy he's playing, but then you want him to reach a good level that we that we've seen from Ajax, from his Ajax days and stuff, and he produced again today. So yeah, we shall leave it there. Thanks everyone for listening. We're gonna go and get back on the pints. We probably had quite a bit of background noise there. Someone was just moving a lot of the chairs and that, but hopefully he didn't hear that. But yeah, we'll be back very soon to chat about the Reds once again. Nice one to Christian, as always. Nice one to everyone for listening. And we'll see you all very soon. Nice one. Sports Social Podcast Network.